Hey, 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 how's it going out there? It's another week. It's another fantastic Carolyn and Joe show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn. And we're joined with special guest Danny.
Super glue Danny.
Welcome back, Danny. It's good to have you
Thank
on, man.
Thank you for having me again.
Yes. And just so you guys know, this show is actually sponsored again by curls-studio.com. If you really love the show, go to curls-studio.com and buy something. That's about it.
For the second time in a row, you guys have entered me through Edge music again. This is the second Edge music.
This will be the third time out of all the times that you're... We might as well just do that. We still haven't used the original Edge song.
Well, that one's kind of dumb because it was just like...
You know me. But
well,
yeah, man,
we'll
Edge
save
just,
that for next time.
I felt it's proper because also like Edge just retired. I guess when this show comes out, it's... Maybe 3 weeks from now, Edge retired. But you know, I'm gonna miss him, man.
Breaking his neck like four times a night.
He's like, I break my neck four times a day.
I think it was amazing. Like actually, when Edge was on I forget if it was like CNN or like some news show talking about professional wrestling.
Larry King.
And they asked a question like, so is wrestling fake? Like this happened last year. Blah 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 blah. He's like, I don't know because I was out of action with a real broken neck. And I was like, damn, dude.
Yeah, sad. You know, the funny thing is, you could tell, like, guys like Larry King, they try to pin a guy like Edge. They try to trick him. But what a lot of non-wrestling fans don't realize, like, the guy, Adam Copeland, he's extremely smart. Like, just if you listen to the way he speaks and just how he enunciates words.
Yeah.
And his actual, like, his vast vocabulary, he has a very, like, very good grasp of the English language. And that doesn't come from just, like... being a stupid jock wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that like professional wrestlers, the good ones, man, like the top notch, they're fairly super intelligent.
Yes,
they have to be at that level. And I feel like a lot of times wrestlers sort of get that.
They get pigeonholed.
They get the
dumb jocks.
Yeah, the bobo. They're like they're just bobos.
Yeah, it's like Carol and I were talking about wrestlers who probably wrestle for fun because they're like supermen outside of. Their endeavors outside of wrestling.
Now, what do you mean wrestle for fun? Like, as
all right. So, I guess my two biggest examples are Bradshaw. He probably makes more money than Vince McMahon does.
Yeah, yeah.
But he just probably likes to wrestle because it's fun. And like, you think a WWE salary is gonna have any impact on his stock trading of million-dollar bonds and all that nonsense? No, he's wrestling for fun. And then the second example I have is David Otunga.
David Otunga.
The guy has a Harvard Law degree.
Are you a fan of David Otunga, Carolyn?
He's okay. I don't really have, like, a big feeling for him, but I know that he's married to Jennifer Hudson.
Exactly.
And he has a Harvard degree, Chris Nowinski.
Yeah, he's a Harvard Law degree. Like, he could go represent any firm in America and probably rake in money. But here he is wearing goofy purple tights with skulls emblazoned on him.
And then, like, his hair has shaved into the side.
Yeah, exactly.
We were just talking about this, like, how, like, a lot of times, like, the wrestler's attire, like, we're looking at Edge... Like, from, like, I guess, like, 2001 or something, or 2002, and it's just, like, his name on his pants with, like, explosion.
Just in case you forget who you're watching, it's on both of his legs and both of his boots.
At least it's better having it on his outfit than actually tattooed on his body.
It'd be
so
awesome.
People know, like, who they... Well, who's that guy? Tatunga or whatever it was?
It'd be awesome.
Tomko? Tomko has his name, like, tattooed on his back.
That'd be awesome if Vince brought him in. He's like, Tomko, we got a great idea for you, but we're going to have to change your name.
You know that they were selling Tomko removable tattoos? That you could, like, rub on with water. They're selling that on TNA shop.
It's kind of gay.
Who would buy that?
Exactly.
Someone would.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, it's bad, but the idea of that, like, Sean O'Hare. Do you remember Sean O'Hare?
Of course.
I wouldn't do it if I were you.
Yeah, so he was wrestling in Japan last time I checked, and he got all these brand new tattoos, right? And during one of these interviews, I think it might have been a shoot interview or a normal interview or whatever, and they were talking about the tattoos. Well, he basically described how his tattoos is his branding. He's like, now you can get Sean O'Hare arm tattoos and stuff like that. Like, he took it to that next level of saying, like, that's why, and there are a lot of tattoos now in wrestling.
Yeah.
But the fact of, like, yeah, now kids can have tattoos just like me. I'm like, that's a little weird, man.
That is a little weird. Speaking of shoot interviews, during the whole WrestleMania weekend, we kept making fun of the Ultimate Warrior, and James keeps... I haven't watched it yet, but James kept referring to this Ultimate Warrior shoot interview, where someone tried to call him out for having no wrestling moves, and then the Warrior's response to all this was, he's like, "What do you mean I don't have any wrestling moves? Not the press slam, the shoulder tackle, all the punches and the kicks,
all the punches and the kicks."
I was like, "Man, if you count the moves, if you count the punches and the kicks, man, you've done like 823 moves a match."
I know, that's true, man. I mean, I gotta say, CM Punk does a lot of punches and kicks.
Yeah,
but these are more educated feet.
Yeah, but he does like roundhouse kicks and then an axe kick and then like stomps.
A clubbing.
Yeah, there are several different kicks. And then the GTS. Those are four different kicks right there.
So we were talking before about, you said that at least our impression of James's reaction to WrestleMania. what was that? You said something about like
in the event James does not want to explain himself on the show. Yes, I'm calling you out, James.
We're calling you out, James.
Well, it's been
we
hard.
Take what we want after we take the gold.
It's been hard to get a hold of James because he's a busy guy. But
yeah, I mean, I live in a goddamn different state, and yet I've made more appearances in this fucking show than James has.
We'll take your impression of James's feelings and translate that.
Okay, so
I'd like to be able to get a call, like if we can call somebody.
You need a call switchboard.
Yeah.
Call in James.
If we can plug in a phone.
Oh my God, that would be the end of the show because we'd be like drunk dialing TJ.
I would love to just actually take calls from anybody.
Exactly. So imagine getting a wrong
one day.
Number. Like, maybe like, we could just you have got the right number now, baby.
Maybe we could just get a number that people can call and we'll just
for
go
the show.
We'll just go through it and we can still talk to him with our
phone.
There
you go.
But yeah, so James.
Yeah, so asked James, I was like,
and when did you ask him, though?
Well, it's not like I asked him. He actually just said to me, he goes, "I think I'm over with wrestling."
Like, was this during WrestleMania?
Oh, wrestling
no,
in
this
general?
He'd still watch it. But he's all like, I think he no longer ever sees the need to ever really go to a live event again.
Wow.
Like, and also, you know, live events are totally different.
Yeah,
man.
They really
you know
are.
Mean?
But the thing is, like, you know, even after, like, the first few Starcades and Raws and stuff we've gone to, it's like, I think there's, out of all the live events I've been to, the ones I genuinely really enjoyed was the ECW show at the Old Nation.
Yeah, the Nation.
That
yeah.
was awesome because that was his grunge underground fight club feel of
yeah.
a house show as you could get.
And that's stuff I want to see too. I want to see like those smaller indie shows.
Yeah, that was great because like the Baldies, man, they look like they were ready to jump the fence and start fights with people in the crowd. And
they have the try harder.
Yeah,
too.
And the crowd just smelled like pot and there were drunk people everywhere. And it was very intimate feeling because they were like right there and a guy jumped the rail and took a punch at Rhino.
Nice.
And Rhino, like, That guy's lucky security intervened because if Rhino turned around sooner, he probably would have killed him.
Yeah.
But it's that show. And I think the next show I really had a good time was the Thunder at the Patriot Center where we had the Mr. Tito Sucks and Fruit Booty sign on the entire show.
You saw that the whole time?
And you actually saw the Saturday morning
where
they took away my I Want My Release sign.
And also because like what I found very impressive about that was it's like 4 weeks later that I saw that. You know what I mean?
No, the best part about that one was I had no intention of going. Huzzard and James they had planned for like a few weeks and they managed to get like floor seats right behind the announcer's table.
Jesus.
But I literally went the day of because someone else paid for my ticket. And he's like, "Hey man, I got another ticket. You want to go?" I was like, "Okay." And then when my sign got confiscated, I was screaming my lungs out and somehow got James' attention and he gave me the Mr. Tito Sucks and Fruit Booty sign. But that was fun. But other than that, like all of them have been relatively forgettable because they're overcrowded. There's just, you can't really see what's going on, and like, you know, just you just feel don't feel like you've gotten your
or you get like lost in the shuffle of the spectacle.
Yeah.
You see like all these fireworks and stuff like that. Like I've actually all the shows that I've went to, I've had the most fun at TNA events. Like the stars just felt so much more accessible, and they in a way like they treated you like you're special. So I feel like
I can understand that.
Yeah, so, and even like how we were talking about earlier today, like we went to a baseball game and we were saying how like if you go to a real Washington Nationals game, it kind of feels like it's not as friendly or like you're not getting as much of an experience when you go
major league
to like
now,
a
so
minor league game. You can totally just let loose and have fun with it.
Yeah,
you don't take it so seriously.
Make fun of the players and call them Jesus and.
So maybe with WrestleMania, like you know. I've never been, but like just it's cool to see the spectacle, but I can totally understand feeling lost in the shuffle. And then like you see these hardcore fans that are just really extreme.
Yeah.
So it makes you feel like you're not part of that fan base if you're not taking it to that level, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you have any good or bad experiences with fans? to me, because I've never
really had any bad experiences per se, but I look at them and be like, man, I don't really want to be like these people sometimes. I think I think James and Hudson kind of felt the same way too, because they were some diehard, ridiculous fans.
Well, when I was, I guess it was last June, I went to the AIJ Leadership Retreat in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and this place is, like, full of designers, like, graphic designers, and Danny is a graphic designer as well, so I'm not kidding you, like, everyone there was, like, all the guys had, like, crisp black or white shirts or, like, plaid shirts, and they had, like, their, like, black... like
horn-rimmed glasses. Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, they weren't bad people, obviously, but it honestly felt like a religion.
Dude, I would, like, show up there wearing, like, sports jerseys and a wrestling belt.
You would,
like, guess what, motherfuckers? I do the same shit you do!
But like, you would totally not fit in with them. But that's how I felt there, because I was like, I'm a designer, and I'm actually, like, I guess at that time I was, like, a proud designer. And then, like, now, after going to that, I was like, I'm not like them.
Yeah, I'm kind of,
like,
over-designing.
Yeah, I don't treat Helvetica like a religion.
But here's what I think, though. It's like, I feel the same way with, like, doing with also photography and filmmaking. Like, I feel like I'm not like how all these other people are. I don't watch every freaking movie, and I don't quote unquote.
Yeah, I remember you guys doing a show, and you're like, I don't have to do everything they do.
I don't. Yeah, but also I feel like the stuff that we don't do is also what makes us in a way unique to the medium. It's because I feel like those people that are so die hard and they're with, you know, they wear the same stuff, that their ideas will just be recycled from what their older ideas. But since we come from a different angle, we have a new perspective on how to bring the medium forward. You know, it's like we can take an idea that we saw in pro wrestling and put it into something. And you can take that those metaphors and spin it. And I always found that appealing. Like, whenever they're like, what, you didn't see that movie? And I was like, well, in my head, me not seeing that movie might make my idea more unique and better marketable.
Yeah,
you know?
I actually think I'm, like, more inspired by, like, films and animation and comics than design.
Yeah, I can't really say I've really been inspired by another designer's work.
But I'm not kidding you, Danny. It was like almost, it felt like a cult religion thing. Like,
screw them.
But it,
care about
it,
their,
it like
their
really
nonsense.
Did. Like, I mean, I can't say I had a bad time, but it definitely felt like I was like, wow, I do not take it to this level.
I would
to
love
be,
to see.
Like,
I would love to see
Helvetica.
One of those guys be like, I've had stuff produced in Times Square and seen by millions of people. I'll be like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Also, there was one day, Carolyn, that you had, like, it was like the day of design day or something like that.
Yeah.
And you chose to promote something else other than that.
Yeah. They had this, it was actually a few weeks ago on Twitter, they had this, like, one day for design thing. And it was just an online event only. And people could tweet their questions or get them answered by famous designers, and or
famous
they'll just
designers.
Or they'll just, like, have a discussion on one topic. So basically there was, like, kind of, it was kind of like chat rooms in a way. You could, like, label your tweets with the different hashtags, and it was interesting in that sense. But so I barely participated because another thing that's, like, that was Twitter trending at the same time was Boy Meets World. I was like, holy shit.
I'd rather be doing this Boy Meets World.
Yeah, that's exactly, and I tweeted that.
Now, Danny, are you on Twitter?
No.
Oh, man.
But you know how it works.
Those Twitter,
a little bit.
Those trending topics are, like, hilarious. But yeah,
Boy Meets World was trending, and I was like, holy shit, my world just stopped, and I was like, I am focusing on Boy Meets World today. I was like, today's Boy Meets World day. But yeah, and I tweeted something like, saying, sorry one day for design, but Boy Meets World is tweeting, and I'm gonna follow that. You know, I basically, like, announced that. And
that's
people,
like, me with Saved by the Bell.
And people wrote back to me. They were like, no, you don't, fail. And I was like, what? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, really? You're going to, like, fail me because of that? Because I like Boy Meets World better than design? Boy Meets World makes me happier than design.
There's so many things more important than design to me.
Exactly.
It's what I do for a goddamn living.
Exactly. But I had so much fun that day, Danny. Like, I can listen to stuff at my job, but I can't just sit there and watch TV shows and movies. So I had, like, all these episodes of Boy Meets World. I probably watched, or not watched, but listened to 6 or 7 episodes the whole day. And I had it on the corner of my screen, like, on YouTube.
That's some good memories,
man,
of Boy Meets World.
Man, they had some great, like,
oh, so
their
awesome.
Special episodes were the best. When,
there's so many.
I remember
great.
When Corey called Hunter Strong, he called him a WAP.
A WAP?
Yeah, there was, like,
what is a WAP?
It was the,
like,
one. It was the special episode about history of family and our backgrounds or racial backgrounds and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then it was one of those episodes where Corey actually took his assignment seriously. And then when Sean was acting out in class, he was all like, So what did they call your ancestor, Sean? Wop? And then Sean did that. He stood up and, you know, it's a quiet classroom and the chair squeaks. And then he got up right in Corey's face. And then Mr. Feeney was like, that's a very good question, Mr. Matthews. Sit down, Mr. whatever Sean's
Sean Hunter.
And he's like, sit down, Mr. Hunter. And then they went into the moral of the episode, which is like, respect your upbringing and your ancestors and stuff like that. And then, you know, like they made up afterwards. But
we're trying to decipher like what I remember Carolyn while we were in the car one time said like they don't make shows like that anymore. But I feel like my perspective on it is like I think they actually make a lot of those types of shows, like the sort of
the
high school sitcom.
Like,
is that what it is?
iCarly and stuff.
Yeah, they have like a million
that,
of those.
Fuck that shit.
We don't watch it. Like.
I look at iCarly and be like, man, you know what?
What is iCarly?
I've never
Which
seen any of it.
I don't really know what the
is
premise
is. Is that Selena Gomez?
Is. No, it's Miranda Cosgrove.
I know, why do you know that?
I know this. I know this because I looked it up. I looked her up because I as soon as I saw what iCarly was, I was like, this chick is the next Hillary Duff.
Is that the girl that was like, who was like sniffing coke or something like
no,
that? Like
that
in the video?
Oh, that would
that
make
was,
her even hotter when she turns 18.
That was Demi Lovato or something
who?
Like that. Demi Lovato. She was on Camp Rock with the Jonas Brothers. Don't ask me why I know it because I've never seen it. But I just know it. And then there's this other girl, the one that you mentioned earlier. I forget who you mentioned.
Selena Gomez?
Yeah, she was on Wizards of Waverly Place. I only
what,
know that
what
because...
What show? Disney and Nickelodeon pump these sitcoms
yeah,
out,
Yeah, but you
man.
Know what? That's good on their part if they can
and
make
the good
us
life
inadvertently
and stuff
learn.
Like that.
Yeah.
Actually, it is good on their part because I've never seen any of this
yeah,
crap,
I've never
and I know
any of these
about
episodes.
It. I've never even watched 1 second of any of them.
But I just look at the chick from iCarly and be like, man, she's gonna be like the next hot jailbait. I bet you. I was like,
I have not heard her name though.
I have not looked, but I'm pretty sure if she's not 18 yet, there's somewhere there's a counter for it.
You think so?
Gross.
It's not gonna be someone. Wait. So who are the contenders here?
Well, Mary Kate Nash.
It's iCarly. She's one of the contenders.
All right, and that's
Selena Gomez.
Hey, and is that the chick that Justin Bieber's like grabbing her ass all the time and
yeah.
looking at the paparazzi pictures?
What?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going out.
Who cares?
So he gets full reign to do that.
Well, that's the equivalent of like their Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears back in our day.
Yeah, but they're not even Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, but I don't
want to
like Justin
18.
Bieber. I don't want to acknowledge him. The sad fact that I know his name and what he looks like, it's too much for me already.
Cross the line there.
But that's unavoidable. It's not like you're actually seeking out Justin Bieber stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that.
Although I remember
we
I got really
society.
Drunk and I saw a little boy at this like art gallery. I was like, Justin Bieber, it's Justin Bieber. I kept calling him Justin Bieber in front of his parents.
Well, because they all have that hair.
Yeah, they all have that same goddamn hair.
In front of his parents.
Yeah, I kept calling him Justin Bieber.
Damn, your son is Justin Bieber, man.
I was like, hey, man, look, it's Justin Bieber over there.
That is the best God. Thing is to call people like celebrities. I swear, you like
we
call
do that
you
all
don't
the time.
Name.
Well, no, when your name becomes synonymous with a certain thing, it's just the greatest thing ever. Like,
it is.
Like Karen explained to me that she explained to me the vernacular of Orton shirts, and I was like, you know what? That makes perfect sense.
It's perfect sense. Of
it's
what
like
Orton,
Orton shirts. They're all Orton shirts.
Yeah, like I was telling Danny how like shopping for you is like impossible because
everything's an Orton
shirt.
Yeah,
everything
now.
At like
exactly.
Macy's or JCPenney.
Or like
was,
half an Orton shirt.
Or like you think that it's good from the front. That's the worst part.
And you flip it on the back
and then
big ass Orton on it.
And then it has like it's like some shitty tattoo design with like established in 1892 with like a family crest on it with like wings of wings of an angel shit on it.
There's my mark on the design and fashion industry. I'm gonna create
God.
A brand and I'm gonna have it. I'm Orton. Gonna say established in like 2011, but instead of like worn out looking font like Garamond or some Trajan or something, it'll be like Euro style and look all futuristic
Euro
and
trash.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly. It'll be like established in 2000 fucking 11.
Helvetica. Hell fucking Vetica. Have you seen those shirts?
I hate those fucking shirts where it's just like five words. It's just lines of...
Explain to me.
I saw a guy at the baseball game today that
There's
had that.
Right. What are these shirts? I don't really know.
These are very... I guess... I just assume they're all from New York. But it's just like... just a plain shirt, but in Helvetica. I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah.
It said "fuck my life" on the back
of
it.
Yeah, but it said like "F
whoa,
you."
Whoa, what?
Yeah, no, but,
yes,
but the letters.
But the letters
were
staggered.
They were broken cleverly, so it was "F U C," and then the next line would be "K M Y L," and then it'd be like "F E." It's like that's not
it's
clever.
It's kind of like
it's gay. It's stupid, and you're a fucking.
But
loser.
You know what? It's kind of like you know. In, to be honest
All
with you, My
above.
Chemical Romance uses it. An example of that would be their drum kit says "exterminate,"
But I feel that's more comic book based though, so I don't really mind.
Just saying, but that's the way it's staggered.
Yeah, it would
like
be
like it's a phrase or one word that's broken up cleverly.
They're always a primary color, and it's just either sometimes it's just one word, like word broken. Just to fit all the necessary letters in on the front of it, or it's the same word repeated like 5 or 6 times, and it's always Helvetica.
And this is gonna take over Ed Hardy's style. Is this like a new?
No. This is the hipster This is the hipster's Orton shirt.
It's the hipster's
Orton shirt because every hipster wears it.
We should make an Orton shirt that's for stacked hipsters. Like that.
We're gonna start speaking a new language of like
hipster Orton.
It's a hipster Orton. It's just gonna be like diner dialogue.
We already speak a new language because like Hazard and I when we saw the white guy with the mulatto kids were like owned.
We totally speak our own language.
But it's you know how diner dialogue is like. When someone orders like a hamburger or something like that, it's a dead cow on the loose. I'm like,
no, you know what? James sent me a text message once, and he said, I was at work last night, and they brought in 5 Ryan Joneses last night. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. And it was the funniest thing in the world to me. I was like, no way, that many? Or it's like,
were they all wearing Orton shirts?
Probably. Orton shirts and lacrosse, and they were carrying lacrosse sticks, probably.
Jesus.
But it's like,
remember
when we were in DC and we were walking out of Borders and we saw like that entire Georgetown like law club
walking down the street? Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I was like, hey guys, look at the Home Depot. It's walking down the street. Because, you know, the Home Depot is a hole full of a lot of tools. Get it? But yeah,
that's what it's gonna be, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's our own like language we're already speaking, like hipster Ortons.
But it's like based already on an established
exactly.
Brand.
But I love
this
how
brand,
we call it like the
it's brand
Orton
talks.
Shirts.
It's really what it is. It's brand
is.
Talks.
It's hipster,
you know,
Orton.
Well, they I haven't seen the movie yet, but Morgan Spurlock's what is it? What's the name of the movie? Like the greatest movie ever sold. Have you heard about that?
No.
He basically got all these people to pay for his movie, like companies to pay for his movie. It's actually called like the, what is that, pomegranate, whatever drink?
Yeah.
Like his pay.
Yeah.
So do you like auction it off and they all paid him or whatever?
Well, he had to go and talk to them, but his movie's about product placement, specifically in movies.
Okay.
And so basically the whole movie is being product placement about him like going to each like branding board. So like they'll be like, do you want to sponsor the movie? But basically, they also run brands through this testing where basically you come up with 3 words that make yourself. And he even went through that testing, too. And, like, I don't know what it would be. I've never done the test. But, like, if they say, like, cheerful, friendly, and clean, you know, like that might describe your brand.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Clean or something like that.
Okay,
so basically, you're supposed to have like 3 words, you know,
that describe you.
Yeah, so like I feel like we are doing like the Orton thing. It's like, you know, like but the way we describe it is based on like culture.
Didn't you describe a scene from because we were in the we're in line to see a screening of the movie Rubber when you told me this, and you're telling me how he went. One of the sponsors that he wanted was like soap.
Like Palm Wonderful. Oh,
like,
yes.
Like the soap company?
No, it was Band deodorant.
Yeah, the deodorant. And then he asked whoever the heads of or their marketing department. They're like, so tell me about you guys. Like, can you define like who you are? And he said something about like they couldn't.
They could not answer it. They were like,
in one word, describe who you are.
Yeah, and then it was like dead silence for a few seconds, and then the lady was just like, that's a very good question. Like, they didn't know who they were, and they're the marketing department of Band.
You know what this makes me think of?
And then a few seconds went by, and then this other guy chimes in. He's just like, fresh, fresh, we're fresh.
Fresh like the ABC branding.
But that's always going to be, like, on film forever.
Yeah.
They're, like, a sponsor.
So it's kind of unrelated, but the word auction made me think about this great thing I saw in, like, the best of Craigslist.
Carolina, the best of Craigslist?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look,
people flag it to say.
Yeah, people
say
flag
it's like
it
the
as
best
like
thing.
They're just like the most craziest written stuff. I highly recommend reading it. It's
cool.
A great way to kill time.
I've actually never done it, but.
But Carolyn, have you ever looked for freelance art or like looked online for like a side
freelance
project
gigs.
Or freelance gig or something? And then have you ever run across those sites where it's like, hi, I'm a mortgage company looking for a logo, but I would like 7 different designers to send me a logo.
Yeah,
and
I've
then
seen shit
I
like
will
that.
Choose one and pay you blah blah blah.
Ugh.
Like that's F the that. Worst thing ever.
There's
you know,
no,
you know,
I
all
just,
they're gonna
I
do
not recommend
work?
Doing
yeah,
Craigslist
yeah, all
for
gonna,
any work.
All they're gonna
like
do
that.
Is they're gonna take your logo and have someone else recreate it and then pay
they're
them
less money.
They're just
looking for free ideas.
Yeah, exactly. But the bottom line is there's one link that was the best of Craigslist, and it said, "Hi, I'm a graphic designer, and I have a proposition." And he goes, "I would like 7 companies to send me 2 weeks of pay and 2 weeks of benefits. Here's the catch. I will keep all of the checks and use all of the benefits. And in 2 weeks, I will choose a company to work for. And if you are the chosen winner, I will work for you for 2 weeks."
Yeah, I think I've seen that. That's been around.
That was my favorite thing ever. I linked to it. I was like, this is golden. This makes me feel better about my life whenever I read this.
The sad thing is like there's always gonna be someone out there looking for work that
yeah,
will do
some
it,
stupid
that
college
will do
student,
a
yeah.
logo for $25 or less, and they will
and
do
then
that.
Company
and then
will flip it around and brand the shit out of it.
And then companies think that that's like what they should pay people.
I hate
yeah.
that, man.
Yeah,
that's even worse with the with you know with mine with photos and film.
People
they
want
think, just
things
because you
for
can take
free.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
But people never do that with other professions. Like, you don't call up your plumber and be like, "Hey, can you fix my sink for free?"
I want Honda, like, Toyota, I want Honda, Toyota, Ford, Buick, and Chevy to all build me a car. And if I like it, I'll use you.
Exactly. And even if it's like, even at my current job, we go through like rounds and rounds and rounds of like different ideas for them. And then it's always like this pick and choose or like a la carte. Like they're like, "We'll take this one and this one and this
but
one."
We want
the
gradient from this one.
Yeah, and it's like
the icon.
Like
from
they're
that
making
one.
Their own like logo type. I don't know. It's always gonna happen because it's like an art perspective of things.
Yeah.
I understand that, but then you don't really do that with any other profession. Like you don't tell your plumber how to bend over and or like don't show
man
your
the next time
or,
I
like I don't know
what? The what next time I come across like one of those auction saying. Things I'm gonna create a logo and it's gonna be like the most creative way of displaying the words "go fuck yourself" and send it to them.
Speaking of the word fuck, Carolyn, you sent me that video
of what
you sent me. No, yeah
auction videos you? What
no that's how
what?
You, that's how you get people
what?
To go into your headline right there. Good headline. That's how you do it. But you sent me a video saying about this speaker who was talking about getting paid. Like, I think he was a designer, and it was called Fuck You, Pay Me.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty amazing. Like that.
Well, that reminds me of that guy from Art School Confidential.
Guy from Art School Confidential?
The older,
yeah,
like,
the guy
Cridgen.
Played by, what is it, Adam McKay? He played the douchebag artist who made it from the Strathmore College.
Who
and he
made
came
it.
To speak. And he's all like, "Because I'm an asshole, and I've accepted it, that I just simply am." And then, like, everyone just stood there for a couple seconds, and they all gave him a standing ovation afterwards.
I like that, man.
All full of shit.
But, I mean, like, I just find it amazing that, like, other professions...
Yeah, you don't,
like,
you can't get it with this
you don't
shit.
Get that with, like, a lawyer or a doctor and stuff. Like, they're just charging by the hour, even. You know, it's like...
It's a criminal lack of understanding that...
And but I feel
the
like
creative industry
they're always
has.
Gonna or people just always expect something for free. They're like, "Can't you just draw that for free?" You know, and even like one of the most famous designers, Paula Scherer, like she works for Pentagram, and she did the Citibank logo on a napkin. Like they had
logo
a meeting.
Sucks.
Well, they no, it's awesome because like
what's,
she took
what's
the
what's the logo?
It's a stupid
it's
fucking arch.
CITI, but from but it, you know what's smart about that? She took that red arch from the Travelers logo because Citi was merging with Travelers. If you remember, Travelers had a red umbrella
yeah.
for their logo. So that was her solution to merge both of them into Citi, which I think personally was really smart. So like the T is part of like the umbrella, so
yeah.
it goes eye to
I
eye.
I could see that now.
So
still.
Like that's really, in my opinion, I think it's brilliant. But what happened was, so she did that in like, I don't know how long, like a 15-minute meeting, and she just, you know, came up with that idea, drew it out on a napkin, presented it to the guy, and he was just like, "Oh, why should we pay you all this money if you just did it in like 15 minutes or whatever?" And she was like, "No, I did it in 38 years or however old
yeah.
she was, you know." And it's like, that's true. If she
it's
didn't
the decisions, man.
If she didn't like go through what her whole life was, she would not have thought that way. And yeah. I personally think like maybe the Citi logo isn't that impressive if you don't know the backstory, I guess. But like, I think it's actually really brilliant knowing that it was merged with Travelers. So,
but also that's
I can give it that.
But that's another thing you bring up because of you talk about her 38 years of experience. And that's how
I don't know what her age
well, whatever,
was. But
whatever, whatever. Her years of experience, and that's how that all accumulates. Just being able to have that confidence to lay it down on a piece of paper or on a napkin and be like, that's the logo right there. And that's why I feel with us and how we've always been, we've always had inspirations outside of our medium. That's where we can, that's what, you know, that's the addition, the equation equals how we deliver our work. And that's what makes us marketable.
But
that's why
I
people
just,
should hire us.
I just think it's interesting how, like, but there's always going to be people
money.
Like that guy. There's always going to be people like that guy that's going to be like, why should I pay you? You just drew it on a napkin, took you 10 minutes, you know, or whatever. Not even, you know, took you 30 seconds to draw that on a napkin.
I mean,
you know, and it's like, really, dude? You don't understand, like, how it works.
I've even been told, like, a lot of times, like, when I get, like, a bigger budget for projects or something like that, and then, you know, and I hire a crew and we get the project done and like I feel really proud about it. And then one of the coworkers, you know, that I don't work with, they're like, oh, how hard is it to spend money? You know what I mean? And sometimes it's not, man, because it's that decision process.
Yeah, and also like the more you work on stuff, like it makes it look like so flawless that you can organize your crew that quickly.
And then people be like, oh, why can't? Well, it's so easy.
Oh, so you just call up people? And, you know, it's like
it's really
that, quick. But
well,
that was like a whole
network.
It's
because I know this
took,
people. You're able to spend this money and get
yeah.
talent.
Really, what we're saying is the metaphor I want to bring up is like when you've played Mario Brothers so easily, so many times that you can beat the level. And like without touching anything, you're so good that it looks easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So, Danny, honest question: do you dislike Anne Hathaway?
Dislike her?
Yeah.
I guess not. I mean, I don't really care for her. I think
she. I'm trying to because
she just like average for you.
I could see.
Because there's one thing that I've been finding out lately is there are a lot of people. Maybe just girls in general.
I don't hate her.
But there's a lot of people who really hate Anne Hathaway, and I'm trying to figure out why.
She's got a big rack and gorgeous doe eyes.
Yeah, I don't see where this math is bad.
Yeah, neither do I.
I think girls are probably just jealous of her.
Do you think a lot? Because, like, really, even on Facebook, I've seen girls and seen some people, they're like, and another reason why I hate Anne Hathaway, and this and that.
And then I've heard people say that they hate her because she's too happy. I'm like, well, I'd rather have somebody be, like, smiley and happy instead of looking drab and, like, old crow or something, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and all, like, miserable and stuff. I'd rather have somebody that's just smiling that's, like, happy to be there.
And I sort of did, you know, I'm starting to like Anne Hathaway. She puts good performances out there. And
I don't know if she, I don't know about that because, to be honest with you, like, on one end, I have nothing against her, but I've seen some of her movies, and I haven't like truly.
You're talking about that
them.
Rachel getting married with that her picture.
No, I never saw that movie. But somebody, that's a Photoshop disaster. Have you ever seen the Rachel getting married?
No.
Cover. Oh my god, they made her eyes look bigger, weirder. She looks like an alien.
Nice.
It's weird. I don't know why anyone would do that because she already looks good. You know, like how bad can you really make Anne Hathaway look? Well, they made her look worse because they tried to make her eyes bigger. It was weird. Like, her face is manipulated.
Yeah, she's got some really, really large doe eyes.
Yeah, but
I do find that
attractive. If you ever, like, get the chance, look at the Rachel Getting Married DVD. It is extremely...
I've probably seen it because I've seen some pretty bad DVD shops, but...
It's extremely disturbing. Like,
we used to,
just
didn't
to
we
know.
Used to do that? We used to go, like, whenever we... When Blockbuster was still around, we'd go and, like, look at other DVD covers and match them how, like... These people have like the same two heads.
Yeah.
And then we'd put them next to like
and
the
like,
other
all,
one.
All
like
the Matthew McConaughey.
I used to like taking all the DVDs that had Trajan on the cover font.
Yes. And put them all together.
Put them all together.
Well, also, I did that with all the comedy movies that use like red stamp effect. And I put them all
unrated,
like,
old school stamp.
Yeah. Like American Pie style.
Stamped.
Like I would all put them together.
I think that's the whole reason why you didn't want to see Jennifer's body. Because they have, like, the unrated,
like written in blood on her stomach.
You know, my favorite is the Sino...
But that guy is on Jennifer's body. Yeah, the guy I like now.
Yeah. I liked the Sino Evil with Kane. Because it's poor text placement. Because it says, see Kane, no evil. So we're like, man, let's go watch See Kane, No Evil.
Also, like, It's pretty insane. If you look at all the recent Matthew McConaughey movies, he's always like leaning on a girl. It's like he can't stand. He can't stand on his own two feet.
That's the metaphor, right? That's the statement.
He can't
stand
on his own two feet.
His abs are weighing him down.
He always has to like lean on someone else.
My abs are too strong and muscular.
He's kind of a sexy guy, so I can't really down him. But
he's got great abs because let's face it. Every movie Matthew McConaughey is in, he's got to take. Yeah, he's got to take his shirt off.
I've heard of firsthand accounts.
Just like how Van Damme has to do splits.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he's known for.
Apparently, Matthew McConaughey doesn't wear deodorant, and it's like a big deal now because like people are like wondering like, is it worth being with him to like smell that smell?
Can't they sneak in like a rub?
Just have like an aerosol deodorant guy and just
what
like
was that?
Yeah, or like do the have some. You know what you do? You have like the guys from the Axe commercials and they run by and do the double pits chesty thing onto him and then boom, problem solved.
I don't know like why he doesn't. Maybe it's like this. I guess he thinks that because there are some people that believe deodorant is going to cause cancer.
Which type?
I don't know. But
all deodorant?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know if he's of that belief.
You know what? We probably all
what?
Have cancer in some capacity, but it's all dormant.
Yeah, and or our body will just fight
something,
it off.
Yeah, something we interact with is what triggers it.
Because like when we get injected with the, you know, when you're supposed to get flu shots.
Exactly.
They're injecting us with the flu.
They're giving you the flu. A weakened version of it.
And I mean, I don't know what Matthew McConaughey personally believes, but maybe that could be one of it. But
I doubt that that's like
you
a
know what
belief
it means? When you get injected with the weaker strain of the flu, that just proves to the world how weak you are if it still makes you sick.
Yeah,
it's like it's like getting beaten up by an ant. It's like an ant walks up to you and body slams suplexes you.
So that's the theory.
That's exactly what the flu shot is.
And it's not supposed. It's
if
not supposed to.
If the flu shot makes you weak, you're weak as fuck. Yeah.
So like, if a girl didn't wear deodorant, but you found her to be extremely beautiful, like the equivalent of Matthew McConaughey beautiful. Like, let's say, like, Mandy Moore or something, like, let's say she smelled, like, hideous, like onions.
She smelled like hideous?
Like hideous. Let's just say, like, she smelled, like, really gross, like, you would
like
you would pin
she
your,
said, like, onions?
But you would pin your nose together and be like, ugh.
All right, it depends on
but
how
you know,
badly
you
it
know
smells.
When people don't wear deodorant?
What smell are we talking about?
Me, personally,
about?
When I feel like when people don't wear deodorant, it smells like onions sometimes.
Is it, like, after they've already been, like, working out and they just don't wear deodorant, or?
Or just, like, never. Let's just say this person, like, just, from what I've heard, Matthew McConaughey doesn't smell that great.
I feel that
he doesn't wear deodorant.
I feel
so
in this situation, girls have an advantage because a lot of times it's
guys
not,
are desperate fucks.
And also, I'm not smelling their deodorant or their perfume. I'm smelling their hair. Their hair carries a lot of smell with it too.
Well,
so I'm smelling like whatever berries, herbal essence that they're putting in there. That usually is what, you know, when you're closer, that's what hits me. That's what will hit me if they're not wearing deodorant.
Well, I'm just
they're
saying,
like Sinead O'Connor, though.
Let's say,
yeah, that's a different story.
But I'm saying, like, let's say you have this girl that you think is like really gorgeous, and like she just reeks. Like, how would you deal with that, or would you even bother?
I probably wouldn't bother. I'm not gonna lie.
See, the smell would be right, too
okay,
much
no,
for
no.
you.
All right, no. Okay, if the smell is so bad that. At first, it forces you to breathe through your mouth, but then you can taste it. Then that's too far.
Yeah, the taste hurts.
Yes.
Yeah. If you can bite into it.
If I could just breathe through my mouth and it doesn't bother me then, it's game on.
That's true. That's a good testament there. I wouldn't be bothered by it as much. But if it gets to that point where you can, you know, ingest it into your bloodstream, that's a problem.
Ebola or something.
Because then you're going to wonder.
But imagine this girl is the most beautiful girl.
Well, let's think about this, though.
She's
too.
Like Matthew McConaughey.
Well, let's think about this. No one really needs to wear deodorant, per se, but is this girl actually washing herself?
I mean,
I'd assume that she is.
I'm assuming Matthew McConaughey washes himself.
Yeah, that's because some people take lots of showers a day. They don't have to wear deodorant.
I mean, but also McConaughey, he might not do it every day. So I don't know.
Because really,
like, let's say every other day and she doesn't wear deodorant.
Think about this. The smell only gets bad if a person is like perspiring like hardcore. And you know what I mean? Like that's what happens when it starts to smell bad. But if they're not really doing anything as much, it's not going to be horrible at all. At anything, really.
So you would accept the smell?
Well, if there is a smell at all, because you're just saying if they don't use deodorant, that's one thing.
Well, but apparently Matthew McConaughey does smell and he doesn't wear deodorant. I'm basically coming up with a female equivalent.
Yeah, but aren't they releasing a pair of whatever?
It's pheromones.
Pheromones. And all the ladies' panties drop because of it.
So they're like, oh, McConaughey.
Oh my God,
and they
like
see
shit.
His like 24-pack abs too.
24-pack abs.
He's got a Pepsi cube down there.
So you guys wouldn't find a problem with it?
Not really. Not gonna lie.
Well, like I said.
So what if Mandy Moore smelled like shit, came up to you and, you know.
If I could taste it, no.
Yeah.
If I can just eat through my mouth.
You literally smell like shit every day. She'll have to know.
I might get annoyed.
But also, like, she'll have to know that she smells like shit at that point. You know what I mean? Because if you can smell it in the air, you gotta realize, take a shower. Just constantly take a shower.
Oh,
I wouldn't mind it at all.
So have you guys ever seen that show Animal Hoarders?
No.
No, tell me about it. God. What is that?
So it's like,
are they hoarding animals?
Yeah, they're basically hoarding animals. And
is it like cat ladies?
Yeah, crazy cat lady. That's what it boils down to. But the bottom line is, every episode they say the same shit. They're like, oh my god, they smell like cat urine because, you know, they're living in cat urine soaked houses and it just sticks to them. When I worked out in Lorton, my last job before I moved to Atlanta, I now know, watching Animal Hoarders, that I was working with an animal hoarder because this woman smelled like goddamn piss all the time.
Oh, gross.
And yes, that was annoying. You like?
So what if Mandy Moore smelled like that? Would you still hang
why
out?
Is it gotta be, why are we against Mandy Moore?
Because I said Mandy Moore was
guys,
a classic
because
beauty
you
earlier
guys,
today.
Oh, okay, okay.
She's
because
the girl. She's the kind
you,
of girl that
both of you guys like her.
I forgot. I
because
I
her
she was just
her good
that
looks her good looks have transcended the last decade very seamlessly.
And I know that both of you guys like her in a certain way.
Yeah, I think she's pretty charming.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
so, like, I'm just saying...
She used to date Vincent Chase, so that's cool.
I'm just saying if a hot girl, like... I'm just using her as an example, smelled...
It's like, now you... Mandy Moore is going to, like, contact the show and be like,
no,
I don't smell...
Actually,
I don't
Mandy
smell
Moore,
like that.
Mandy Moore, I have no thing against her. I'm just using her as an example of a beautiful woman that both
Mandy Moore's
of these...
so beautiful.
That both of these guys, I know for a fact, have a thing for.
I want to hear, I want to hear your review on the movie Rubber. Danny, do you know this movie, Rubber?
No.
Well, Danny has to finish his cat.
Oh, yeah.
So
no. But basically, yeah, I knew that she was a cat hoarder because she smelled like piss.
Gross.
Like, everyone knew it. No one wanted to say it. But then one day, one of the print production or the printers in the back, he was all like, "Where's Carla?" I was like, she called in sick today. And then he turned around as he was leaving, he goes, "No wonder it doesn't smell like piss in here." And then right there, everyone, it was all over. Because everyone was like, the elephant in the room had been dropped. Everyone wanted to say something at some point. No one ever did, just to be civil. And then this like redneck printer, he's all like, "No wonder it doesn't smell like piss in here."
Dude,
it's all over.
I love the fact that they can just say stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's usually the best stuff that someone needs to say. And that's the best form of comedy, I think.
Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of comedy, Carolyn.
What?
So we got a screening. You won an award.
I won a major award.
What?
I won the opportunity to see the film Rubber. Now, Danny, have you heard about
this?
No,
I've heard nothing about this movie.
Okay,
Rubber.
It's this independent movie.
Is it about condoms?
No. But it could be.
Well, crap.
It's about this tire named Robert, and he kills people.
A tire?
Yes.
Like a wheel?
Yes. And he just...
It literally is. Like, in the desert, it's a story.
It's a literal...
This tire becomes alive.
What is it, like, dribble on a person's head, like Mario, until it dies? Or
well,
what?
It has, like, telepathic powers, and he can kill people and things.
And, like, make their head explode.
Yeah, what happens is, I don't want to go through the whole movie, but if you watch the trailer, like, I was really intrigued by the trailer about, like, 6 or 7 months ago. I don't know how I really stumbled upon it, but then I was like, this kind of looks interesting.
Sounds
watch
like Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, so, like he just starts, like, it's in the desert, desolate town, so there's this tire just, like, rolling around, like, aimlessly, but then he'll, like, see, like, either desert animals or people. So one of the main things that they'll show you in the trailer is he'll just, like, shake and focus on this bird that's, like, a crow, and the ground's, like, all shaking, and then you hear, like, this hissing sound effect that sounds like 100 cicadas, and then it's, like, and then all of a sudden the bird blows up. And I was like, I need to watch this movie.
So imagine Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but with a tire in the desert. If you can imagine that,
yeah,
like it's
you
a
guys
horror
can't,
movie.
Like, yeah, people listening can't see my face, so I'm just kind of like, what? Huh?
In disbelief of someone actually creating this movie.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. Like, I enjoyed the soundtrack. I enjoyed the basically you would like this movie if you're really into conceptual things. So if you like conceptual independent film and
you know
like weird stuff,
like?
You might like this.
It sounds like a guy took the jump to conclusions mat from Office Space and they threw a beanbag and it said killer film, And then it said, and then they're like,
object,
all right, now we, need an antagonist. And they threw a beanbag and it landed on Tire.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not to say anything bad. I'm not gonna, this doesn't count against the movie, but I say this is the first time in a screening of a film. And there are a lot of press people there.
They're like standing ovation after it?
No, no. This is the first time that two people behind us straight up fell asleep and started snoring so loud.
Big time
snoring.
Nice.
That everyone turned around and were like, it really like interrupted the show.
Big time snoring.
God damn it.
I was like, wow, man. It was like me
fat.
Snoring. Dude.
And
they were fat.
Yeah, they were fat and Asian.
Fat and Asian, dude.
No.
They snored the hell out of it. It was
but
so loud.
The other thing is
like
I kind
to, like,
of
UCLA.
I kind
you see a lot of Asians.
I kind of feel like a lot of the like probably half of the people there were like reviewers of some sort because everything was like press seats and they're all like
press.
Yeah,
overrated
term. It's kind of like they've already like
these days, yeah,
seen it all and like. After the film ended, I hope this doesn't skew people's opinion of the film because I think if you're into what I just described,
now there was
you
a good range of like older and then younger kids there.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of older people there, and I feel like there was a generation gap. Like maybe they didn't quite get this way of storytelling, but a couple people ended up clapping at the end. But then there was a whole bunch of people that just started yelling stuff, being like, "This is crap." They're like, this is worse than Geely. Like,
yeah, I was like, what the fuck is worse than Geely?
I was like, what? They were like, they're like, finally, it's over. I'd like those 2 hours of my life back.
Like, you know,
it's like mean.
In the back of my head, I was like, you saw the trailer. It's a story about a killer tire. Were you going in there
like
thinking it's going to be Shawshank Redemption?
Joe, remember I took you to that screening of Silent Hill?
Oh my god, dude.
And like
oh
at the end of the movie when the screen goes white, you just see a silhouette of this black dude throw his arms up in the air. He goes, the end! But then the movie
it
keeps going for like another 10 minutes.
I like that crowd because they were like...
They were all movie theater employees.
Yeah, so they've seen it, but also they're out loud and very like critical and out loud.
Out loud.
What,
yep.
No seatbelts? There's no way this could happen. This is not there's a hole in the plot. I was like, wow.
Cut through your ear. IMDb.
But it is interesting to watch a movie with those type of people. Like... Because I don't think the average public gets that opportunity.
Like, I didn't have a problem with the movie at all. I wasn't like...
What, Silent Hill or Rubber?
Rubber. Silent Hill is a different story.
Okay. Yeah, like, there was not any huge problems with it. You kind of knew what you were getting into seeing...
You knew what it is.
Well, then,
going
and then
the
like,
trailer.
The guys
the
behind
rubber.
Us, they were like... Basically, apparently certain people couldn't get in. Because it was one of those things where, like, you have to come on time or, like, I guess you don't get in. But, I mean, like any movie, really. But, I guess certain people didn't get in and they were upset about it. And then the guy was like, geez, I don't know why they're so upset about missing this movie. It's just a movie about a tire. You know? Like it's like before the movie even started.
You know what I mean? It's like, if you're going into a film and you know it's going to star like Keenan and Kel. You know, don't expect it to be like...
What are you talking about? It's going to be like Oscar award winning.
But like, I didn't have that big of a problem enough for like, when the credits rolled and people were clapping and one of the guys who fell asleep behind us decided to yell out and do a big ass yawn. Like, I was like, God, dude, what the hell is that?
It's the Big Show.
This is worse than Jelly. You know, and it's like they were being very vocal about it, and it, like obviously they didn't like the movie.
I was like, are we at Sundance where they gotta do this?
Yeah, but that just it was good to like know that you know, even though I know those people exist and they're out there, it was good to just witness that and reaffirm again, like that those are the
How
type of people that you're gonna
you are in the world.
But those are also the type of people that are telling other people what to watch. You know, and like. Yeah, there are certain people that just only pay attention to the reviews.
And it's tough. Like, I really don't want to be, like, that type of critic these days.
Yeah, they're like the old, like, people in the Muppets balcony.
I can
balcony.
Honestly say, like, when it's come to video games I've been looking forward to, movies I've been looking forward to, games or music or movie, or like, shows, I don't really ever look at reviews. Ever.
Yeah, because
I just go in, and then I come to my own conclusions, and then maybe I'll cross-reference online with what other people have to say, but otherwise I don't really pay attention to anything until I've given it my full first
exactly like
shot.
A movie I need to see it first, then I want to see a review.
And also, unless it's like Roger Ebert, like none of these other people are as valid, to be honest with you, because it's like these people are just like everyday people that got lucky and got a job as a reviewer for, like, the city paper.
And now, they're going to bash the Carolyn and Joe show because you bash critics. Just like how they did with the Lady in Water.
Yeah. Oh, man. We're going to end up like M. Night.
Shamalama Ding Dong.
I'm going to go watch The Happening right now. Too.
I respect their opinion, but I don't think like everyone needs to follow it.
I don't think Lady in the Water
you.
Needed to have happened because of the. Because it was nothing but one big pot shot on reviewing reviewing industry as a whole.
Well, that's kind of how rubber was.
That's what rubber was. The rubber was actually like a commentary
like
on the audience.
Like go and roll onto movie theaters and explode movie critics.
Oh, when you check it out, you'll find out.
Nice.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Yeah, it is something.
That shit,
yeah.
Sure shit to sound like
you can watch it on demand right now, actually.
What?
Yeah. And there you go. That's our show this week.
What?
What? You can't drink and drive in America? What?
Super glue.
That's right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Wade Barrett, and I use super glue.
just kidding. I'm Danny.
Thanks for tuning in these awesome episodes, Danny. Hope to see you in the future.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Thank you
for
having
me. We love critics.
Yes. Critics. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Stay positive.